Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East Eddy Ranch, and we have quite a show on tonight. Before we get started, I wanted to let people know, if you're not signed up on our website, on our newsletter, I would get on that right away. Just go to www.eceti.org. There's a lot of things unfolding right now, and we're just getting amazing clips around the world with major UFO activity. We've also recently, just in the past two nights, just got some incredible footage of massive ships flying behind the house, behind the trees, and we had as many as six ships in a row, all in one frame. We could get three of them at a time in there, but they're just zigzagging all around each other, so it was pretty interesting. And so it's on, you know. Look up in the skies. There's a lot of activity. The ancestors are returning, and some of them are coming from the stars, which is a good segue into where we're going to be going. We're going to the Return of the Ancestors gathering, and I believe it began April 18th to the 28th, and it's hosted by the Mayan and Hopi elders. There's a little controversy around that, and I guess they have elders from, 100 other tribes there as well. So in order to get a report on what's happening there, we have a good friend of ours by the name of Harish that's there on site as we speak, that's been experiencing all the talks and the ceremonies and the gatherings. So, Harish, are you with us?
I am with you. I'm with you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show and giving us a report on what's happening at the gathering.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Do you want me to start with a little something on it?
Yeah, like the opening, maybe the opening ceremonies, and maybe some of the people that have been there, and who you've listened to, and how they've impacted you, and maybe a little bit about what their message was.
Well, right now, I'll give you a bit of a synopsis. It seems the overall message at this time is there's two main points. One is the unity of all tribes and all races and all species, and also the sacredness of our connection with Mother Earth. These are the two main things that I've been experiencing here from the traditional circles. There are a number of things going on here, multidimensional, with people returning. The Return of the Ancestors is happening in this broadcasted Return of the Ancestors gathering that we can read about on the Internet that is having scheduled times. And there's also stuff that is outside of that box, which I'm actually finding is as profound and even more profound, that there is an energy here in the Sedona area. I lived in Sedona for 10 years, from 97 to 2007 or 8, and I have never experienced Sedona as activated as it is now, and also the people gathering at the cafes and at people's homes and around the campfires. And there is, in the traditional gathering, some of the gatherings are very peaceful and harmonious, and you feel that sense of unity. Some of the things I've noticed, there's a lot of the elders come from very strong traditions, which it seems they're almost burdened by. And then there's, every once in a while, you'll see like a grandmother elder jump up, filled with the spirit, and just unite the whole audience and all of the elders, just unite them in a place of pure joy. And also, too, there was a wedding ceremony the other day that was very beautiful. And in the ceremony, the witnesses of the ceremony were the stones that were present. So once again, there's a deep recognition that the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the star kingdoms, all of these are being recognized now as part of this conscious awakening, and that we are all in this together in a unified field.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to that grandmother jumping up and, uniting everybody, when I was in Mexico, I was down there with the Huichol people, and I really recognized something that was going on, and I talked to some of the grandmothers involved down there, and it's like they're holding the energy. It seems to me like they're, like you were saying, there's an old, almost a patriarchal program still going on, holding on to the old ways. And then the women seem to be holding this pure love and nurturing energy, that divine feminine energy, which is coming in right now and turning that upside down. Was there any grandmothers there that were speaking, that bringing it forth, a message?
Yes. Two of the times, a grandmother, and I do not know their names right now. I can get their names for a later time. But both times, the grandmothers jumped up, and like a lot of times, the men, the elder men, kept the energy only in the elder circle. All the people who were gathered around the outside of the circle were almost like they didn't exist. And all of a sudden, a woman would get up with pure heart and unite everyone, and the energy in the room would become one, complete one, in her joy and her ferociousness. Both women were ferocious in their joy. And it just melted down all sense of separation and tradition.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love to hear that, with, you know, the women, you know, reclaiming their power and bringing forth the that divine feminine energy, which is really necessary right now to balance out the planet and break some of the old programs that are running right now.
Also, too, many of the people that I have been meeting outside of the traditional gatherings, like one man, he came from New York 2 weeks ago. He was making these hot rod cars and, you know, selling them for large amounts of money and tricking them out and totally in the hip-hop world and all the girls and all the bling-bling. And all of a sudden, for some reason, he did this one night right before he went to bed. It's like his energy turned in on itself, and he saw that with all of this great stuff going on around him, there was no joy. And he went, oh, my God, I'm not happy at all. My life is full of bling-bling, but there's no happiness. And he dropped, within 1 week, he sold off everything or gave it away and hit the road, and he's come through Taos, Sedona, and he's on his way up to Mount Shasta, and he is fully activated. And it's like, he's 21 years old, and I swear, I'm saying, you were totally involved in that other world, and I was sitting up on the Cathedral Rock here with a few other people, and I had only met him the night before, and I feel like I knew him forever. And there was another man, the same thing had happened. His whole life, within the last 2 or 3 weeks, completely shifted like a light switch, dropped everything, and is here in total joy meditating on the stones around Sedona. And I can say the same about a number of women I've met, too. It's like there's something going on that's so rapid and it's so clear in these people. It's almost, you know, it's like I'm meeting a lot of people under the age of 25, 26 that are dropping their agendas immediately. Mm-hmm. And it's quite beautiful. I've dropped my agenda a long time ago, and these people are right up to speed with me. And it's like, wow, hallelujah.
Yeah,
and I feel
like
in a way, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the younger people right now, they have a fail-safe program or something that doesn't let them get too far gone into the system, and
right.
All of a sudden it just kicks on.
Right.
And, you know, it's in their DNA or something. You know, everybody calls them indigo children, different names for them. But
yes.
All of a sudden, they're
yes.
just kicking on, and they're getting it, and they're moving and becoming examples for everyone else.
Yes, exactly. And it's contagious. It's contagious because the joy is for real, and the overwhelming abundance of that joy makes things like the economy seem so silly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we've seemed to have gotten so far off track by placing our joy, you know, in material acquisition and objects and little green
mm-hmm.
pieces of paper. And it's just amazing how people are letting that just take them down the toilet, when really the real treasures have always been within, and you know, getting back to nature and simplifying, that's when we're going to be really happy.
Yes. Yeah. And also, too, it's like, the other night, I was on my way to a traditional gathering, and all of a sudden, I got this lump in my throat as I was waiting in line to go inside, and I realized my intuition said, go home right now. And I borrowed my friend's car because he had driven with me, made sure he had a ride to go home later. I went back home. I laid down, and I do not know what happened except that this Kundalini energy started pouring through the bottoms of my feet, and it went out the top of my head, and it lasted about an hour and a half, and it was so powerful, and it lined me up with some unseen ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and the same thing happened to seven other friends of mine at the same time, not only here in Sedona, but in San Francisco, in Maui, and a friend of mine in Mexico. Every one of us experienced the same thing at the same time, and we felt joined with this meeting of the real ancestors, which in reality are ourselves. We are the ancestors.
Yeah.
And you know, that includes the Star Brothers and Sisters, it includes the elders, but we too are the ancestors. Every one of us has been around forever. And once you, again, like you said, when that fail-safe switch happens, every one of us has it inside. When that activates, all of a sudden, there's a sense of self-remembrance and reawakening.
Yeah, it's amazing how I see people just fighting so hard to hold on to the past or hold on to this old way. And, you know, it's never brought them joy. It's never worked. But it's all they know, and they're just hanging on so hard. And it takes an event like that, like a major opening, to just snap them out of it.
Well, you know what, too? It's like you said, it's all they know. Well, it's all they think they know. In reality, underneath that is a deeper knowing, and it's just waiting for the exhaustion of the outer play or whatever you want to call it. But it actually, this, you know, it's like when your little winning streak is through, and all of a sudden everything goes against you. In reality, it's bringing you to your knees, so that your own higher self can take over, rather than the perception organ that we call ourselves, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how some people have to take it to that limit, you know, to, like you're saying, until it brings them to their knees, until they have nothing, or they, you know, they're going to, that personality self is just going to hang on to the very end, hang on to control, and all it has to do is just let go and go with the flow and trust, and mm-hmm. you know, the whole world opens up for them.
Yeah, well, you know what, too, is that each one of us, like you and I, you know, where we are today came from within.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we might have got outer signals about it, but the actual motivation to be who we are came from within, and everyone has that, and everyone has their perfect timing. So for me, I'm not concerned about the people that are still paddling upstream as hard as they can, trying to hold on, and because I know that current that is who we really are is stronger than anyone ever imagined, and no one is going to be able to fight it for very long.
Oh yeah,
and it sustains all of us in reality.
Oh yeah, I love that old saying. There is a river, you know, and it's time to just let go and, you know, flow with it. You know, I've seen recently there's something going on, and I know events such as that, especially Sedona being a vortex, and this area we're in right here being a vortex as well.
Yes.
Is,
and Maui, too. Maui, I live in Maui on the North Shore, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming, the interconnections between people and the nature right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing. These vortexes, I know, are being activated. They're almost like acupuncture. They're like...
They are.
Whatever you want.
Yes.
God's little acupuncture point, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And they're holding the energy for this higher consciousness and energy, whatever you want to call it, is really pumping up. And, you know, I saw a channeling that, and, you know, me, I've actually written books about channeling, but I don't take a lot of them, you know. There's a lot of channelers out there, and, you know, some are doing a good job, and some are just, you know, looking for attention or whatever, working through their own stuff. But, you know, a lot of times when I hear Saint Germain or Michael or whatever, I just kind of go, okay, well, here we go again. But I got an email today. Somebody was channeling Michael, and, boy, it was right on, and the guy did a really good job. And as I was reading this email, my whole body started lighting up, and I started feeling this incredible energy. And it was all about how the source itself is going to reclaim, you know, its power, or the earth, or whatever you want to call it. But they're going to take an active role, and they're done with the tyranny, and they're done with destruction and the pure greed, and it was really an interesting email that I got as I was reading it. It was saying that they're going to take a very, very active role in putting an end to the nonsense here, you know, both,
right.
You know, whichever means they use, energetically or
right.
accelerating karma or whatever. But it seems like there is this massive movement on, and the people that are living on these vortexes or going to these major gatherings or getting it, are definitely getting the downloads first, you know, and
oh, yeah.
Taking
well, you know, James, like in Maui, we've been having, we had a full moon gathering a couple weeks ago, and we have a piece of property that was given to us that's close to everybody. It's just down the street from Yolanda's house. Like, so it's right in Haiku, and there were like 400 people all gathered together celebrating in such a deep joy and looking in each other's eyes with this remembrance and with this ease. And it's like unsaid even. It's like it's telepathic communication that we are Homo luminous, that Homo luminous is being born. Homo sapiens time is almost over. And Homo luminous, the awakened light body humans, we're migrating into that right now.
Yeah, it's I always say resistance is futile. You know, it's yeah, the world's going, and
we're
gonna
welcome to give it a try.
Yeah, if we're gonna stay on the planet's evolving, so we're gonna have to evolve along with it.
Yeah. You know what too, it's just like an example. The you know, the past administration did all of their work through fear. Through
mm-hmm.
fear, which is a very slow, thick vibration. And for the first years, most people bought into it. Even people that are pretty open-minded, a lot of people bought into it. Not everyone. And
yeah.
and then they played it out, wolf, 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 over and over and over, and they lost their credibility. And now someone like Dick Cheney is still doing the same old pattern, and people are making fun of him in the news. Newscasters, Hillary says something funny about him, and he's just the butt of jokes, the bully. No longer has any power, and he better watch it, or he might end up spending a little time in his own. You know, won't have to worry about the rent for a while if he doesn't be careful. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, they did release a lot of that information about how that waterboarding is torture, and you know the amount of torture they did on those guys was just overwhelming. I don't think anybody knows the extent. Of what was going on.
Well, the one guy was given 183 waterboards in 30 days.
Yeah.
And one waterboard. Yeah.
I would confess
to anything. One waterboard can scare you to death. Go ahead.
Yeah. After the, I mean, having drowned myself, you know, is luckily I went all the way through it, you know, but being taken right next to that drowning over and over and over again, if you have a fear of death or whatever, I mean, I would probably tell them anything after the first one. Yeah, what do you want me to say, you know?
You know what's interesting, James, is that the reason they did this, which has only been mentioned a couple of times publicly yet, but the reason it was done, and this was one of their memos, is because they wanted false information to that would back up the lie they were involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And through the waterboarding, they got the people to agree to anything, and they actually brought all of these techniques in as a mimic to the communist China, who had gotten our soldiers in World War II to lie for propaganda purposes, and that was in their memos that the reason the U.S. government, the Bush administration, got involved in this was to coerce people into giving false information to back up the lie of the Iraqi war and the lie of the war on terror.
Yeah.
So there we have it, you know?
Yeah. It's the whole thing has been one big lie from the beginning. I always tell people, when you allow the war industry and the oil industry and the pharmaceutical industry to run things, you're screwed, you know, basically. You might as well forget it. And, you know, everything coming out of this corporate-sponsored dictatorial democracy we have has nothing to do with the people or what's highest and best good for the people. It has all to do with profit and greed and destruction of our home, you know, lifestyle and environment. It's unbelievable what's going on right now, and it's all coming up for everybody to see.
Yeah. But you know what, James, what I'm finding with a lot of people that are close to me and very clearly my own direct experience that in the last, going on 3 years now, my whole life has been on the mystical path, but these last 3 years, I have lined up on my joy and that, and lining up on the joy and hanging out only with happy people, people that love themselves, people that are willing to feel worthy of being on this planet in a wholesome way.
Mm-hmm.
That lineup has changed everything in my life, and so I am attracting. That's where my attention is. Like, I look at the other things very lightly now with no concern whatsoever, because I am actually creating my world through the vibration of what I want my life to be. So if I want a peaceful future, I need to feel the peace inside me right now. And what do I get? I get that right now. So it's not only my future, it's my present. And by holding true to that and holding those higher vibrations, all of a sudden, my whole life now, my creative life, the way I pay my bills, all comes out of this higher vibration. And that continues to open deeper and deeper and deeper to higher and higher experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And
100%.
I feel that people should not be concerned about the old paradigm. They should put their attention on what brings them happiness. They should put their attention on what they already have to be grateful for. And they should really don't worry about these other things. Put your attention that you are one with Source, that you are connected, that the Earth adores you. All those problems will be solved once we have people who love themselves. Like Michelle Obama came on Oprah the other day and said, they said, how do you hug all these people and you, you've got this great, you know, you've got an organic farm growing in the White House lawn, and you're standing out for all these things, helping the homeless people. And she said, it starts with loving yourself. When you love yourself, you have the fruit of love to share with others. If you don't love yourself, then you come from a place of insecurity. And then you can't, you're on shaky ground, because your own connection with the divine, with that which is shaky. But once you solidify that connection, nothing can stop you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I really feel... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that, hopefully that was the message there at the gathering, is that, you know, it all begins with self-love and having the courage to stand up and, you know, for yourself and your truth and your right to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, happy life, you know, and just be
exactly.
It versus seeking it.
Well, what I've seen is when I live this way, if someone comes into my field and I do not react to the negativity and their cynicism, and I just stay in that connection with myself, they either have to leave the field or join the party.
Yeah.
And that is it, because in reality, the foundation of all creation is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm lined up on that unconditional love with myself and my direct connection with Source, then there is nothing that can disturb me. Outside circumstances, to quote a dear friend of mine, outside circumstances in reality do not matter. State of being matters. And what happens if you stay in state of being, the outside will shift. It has to, because it has no will of its own. It has no agenda of its own.
Yeah, there's a lot of people ask that, what if, that's your truth, and then what if another person comes in that has a different truth and wants to force their truth on you?
Well,
what do you do then?
Well, James, twice this lifetime, I was investigated very thoroughly by someone. I don't want to go into it. It's not a big deal. They melted.
Mm-hmm.
And we laughed, and they said, you are the most foolish human we have ever met in our life. You are not a threat to anything. We're surprised you can even change your clothes every day. You have such a silly outlook on life. You really believe it's that simple, and it's that sweet. I said, I don't have to believe it. I live it. And they laughed, and they I signed the investigative papers. I promised to continue being more foolish, and hopefully I'll become more foolish every day the rest of my life. And we all know that in the Tarot deck, the fool is the center of the universe, because he is one with Source. He no longer takes himself seriously. and then he gets to enjoy the overwhelming joy that in reality is what this whole creation is made from.
Yep, I agree. I'm just playing a little devil's advocate there.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, people have tried many times, and twice I had groups come to me, but many times, and it just doesn't work. They can't mm-hmm. hold it. It takes two to create a fractured way of looking at life. If you don't play it, I had a guy once who I had seen a movie the night before, and I was excited. This guy and I were having a ball talking at some gathering, and I all of a sudden mentioned I had seen Fahrenheit 9/11, and he got up and called me a communist, a fascist, a stupid hippie. I mean, he called me so many contradictions. How can I be that and that? And I laughed. And he got so upset. I was just laughing. I felt so good in my being. And I couldn't believe this guy I was having a good time with thought that I should just bow down and let the government do whatever it wants and not allow myself to have any different opinion. And I just, and all of a sudden, he told me, he says, I hate your smile. I said, well, all I can tell you is you're in trouble because my smile will continue while you're sleeping. It'll be there when you wake up. And it'll continue because nothing stops it anymore. And he took his food, and we were at a barbecue. They had barbecue sauce and everything all over. He took it and threw it all over me, and I looked down at my clothes, and it had all fallen at my feet, and there was not one stain on my clothes. And I was in front of about 40 people from all over the world. And I just started laughing, and then he came to try to hit me, and I just put my hands up in hallelujah, and he just turned around and ran out of the party saying I was crazy. And we all laughed. We cleaned the food up, and I promise you, there was not one stain, and he had thrown it all over my shirt and pants.
Yeah.
So what was that, you know? Well, that's once again, you know?
Yeah, divine intervention. I had a situation like that where this guy was trying to hit me, and he was so mad because he was trying to take over this group, you know, and he came in, he was a lawyer, you know, and he got so angry because, and he wanted us to pay him all this money for just showing up, and I didn't even invite him, and I didn't even know who he was, and he all of a sudden he wanted to take over, and I go, look, I hate to burst your bubble, but with all due respect, I said, this is the first time I've met you, and we don't have any contracts, and I never agreed to pay you all this money, and I don't know who did, and why do you think we're all going to. And the guy just started flipping out and getting all upset. And then, you know, I called in some of the masters. I could see it was getting ugly. And I just maintained that bliss that you're talking about. And the guy took his fist and he went to swing at me and it just stopped. It was stuck. Mm-hmm. And he tried three times and he was just ranting and raving and just flipping out and did this total power trip, you know. And I was watching the whole thing just sitting there. And then finally he just left. And I thought it was amazing that I didn't have to do anything. There was some force or his higher self. I don't know what interfered, you know, but something would not even let him, you know, he would cock back to hit and then he was stuck. He couldn't move anymore. And,
well, you know what? That too, it's like these kind of things which I've experienced, you've experienced, many close friends of mine have experienced. It's very similar to that story in the Bible when Daniel was put into the den with the lions, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he went down, he was in total peace. He was in total resignation. He was totally connected to Source. When he went in there, the lions purred.
Yeah.
And it's that same thing. It's like in reality, what this bliss that you were in, this joy that I was in when this guy freaked out, this is the natural state of existence.
Mm-hmm.
This is the power behind everything, including the Illuminati. The Illuminati could not exist without this unconditional love. Nothing could exist without this unconditional love, which is animating all form in all directions. And when we're in that space, nothing can touch us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of interesting that a lot of times we, you know, one of the masters I stay with, I love what he said, you know, he said, what is worth joy? You know, and he made everybody really think about it, you know, Put a value on it. What's worth joy? Money, you know, object, anything. And everybody
mm-hmm.
said nothing. And then he goes, why do you give it up? You know, you know, it's your natural state. And so, you know, I keep getting challenges myself constantly.
Sure,
and
sure.
I just, you know, stay in that bliss as much as I can, you know, but without being smug about it, you know.
Right. Oh, but, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, it's quite a challenge. Just saying, hey, look, you know, I'd love to share this bliss with you, but this other path, I think you might, you know, need to reevaluate that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the one thing is too, for me, it's like I can make suggestions to others, but I know too that this pull came from within me. It was not something that I was able to purchase anywhere or find in an ashram or in church. It actually was inside me, and it mm-hmm. and when it clicks in, doesn't matter if you end up looking like a fool to people that have known you for a while, but when it clicks in and you change directions, you're in that flow and nothing else makes more sense. Like you said, you're challenged, but even when you're challenged, where does that challenge bring you back to? It brings you back to that bliss, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it forces you to let go of that whatever
yeah.
program, you know, taking you from that bliss. The,
right.
You know, going back to the gathering there, what was
yes.
the main message there of the elders? Was there some unified, I mean, you told me a little bit about it, but so basically
well,
it was just about unity and dropping the, you know, one thing I think we really need to drop is this cultural, we need to transcend all cultural and religious diversity and realize
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we're all spirits, and we all come from the same source and return to the same source. And
well, what the message that I got very clearly was that we are a unified field, and in that unified field, we come from many different races. We come from many different pieces, parts of the land. We're born all over. There's people here from Africa. There's people here from China. There's people here from Korea. People here from Europe, from South America, from Central America, from North America, from Canada, all over the world there's people from. And they're in these circles. They're respecting each other's rituals and traditions. They're joining each other. They're mixing and hybriding the traditions. And they're finding the common ground in the heart that we all, the sincerity of each of us is what unites us, the joy in our hearts. It doesn't matter the path we take, and therefore no longer saying, my way is the way. In reality, that way has helped tune me to something that is beyond all ways.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in the gathering, they're saying, it's time that we humans really understand that everything is conscious. The rocks, the sand, the buildings we build, the 2x4s, the trees, the tires, everything, it's concentrated consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and everything is alive. There isn't anything that is not alive with the spirit that unites all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a great emphasis on that also.
Yeah. Sounds like you got a lot of kids there in the background.
Yeah, we're having another gathering. I lived here for 10 years, like I said earlier, and I've been living in Maui, and I've been on the road a lot. Well, the last year and a half, I've been mostly in Maui. And every one of my friends here in Sedona has upgraded their lives, both the form and the connection with spirit, all in their own unique ways. And
mm-hmm.
here we are gathering now. Every night we're gathering at one house or another in total celebration and recognition of that which is that singularity inside each of us that transcends our differences
mm-hmm.
and also makes those differences a treasure to share rather than opposing or competitive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, I just find it amusing sometimes when there's this competition thing going on in spirit, you know?
Uh-huh.
I can't relate to it, you know, and I hear people all the time saying, this guy's all-powerful, or this person is this and that, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I just feel, well, probably is to all those who want to give away the power, you know. But, you know, it's like, what I'm saying is right now is that, in even my own life, it's like I'm just having to kick myself in the butt to get out there and even speak anymore, because it's coming to a time where people are going to have to go within and get it, you know, from within and do their time and you know, the shortcuts are over. I mean, there are a lot of people out there and counselors and things that are gifted that can help people fast track a little bit, but the bottom line, everybody's got to make their own personal connection with spirit, creator, or whatever you want to call it.
Right, right. Well, you know what, too? It's like in the world right now, I'm around a lot of people that have joyful lives or are transitioning into a joyful life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that were are relatives of ours or past close friends that no longer relate.
Yeah.
And they're going through tough times. There's a lot of despair on the planet. There's a lot of confusion. But that dark night of the soul is preparing them for the same kind of situation which turned our lives around. And so I feel that it's just like what David Wilcox said, is that over these next couple of years, as we move towards this still point, this zero point, what used to happen once every 10 years, I don't know how often it's happening now. It's some kind of golden mean equation,
yeah.
By the time we get close to this zero point, this horizon event, it will be happening hundreds of times a second. So what looks like so far off of it, it will be nothing to transcend. Excuse me. To transcend that gap. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people are going to have
I feel everyone is in the same hands that I'm in, which are pure loving hands.
Yeah.
And I don't have to worry about anyone, because in reality, my experience now, and I know this is yours too, is that we're eternal aspects of Source. We're living this mortal game, and I think this mortal game is going to switch into an immortal game. And I think this Homo Luminous will all of a sudden start to live, and I've been having experiences these last 4 or 5 months where I've been experiencing my multidimensional being. I was sitting on my porch effortlessly. I'd only had a cup of lemon water for breakfast, and I became 17 different whales in front of me. My awareness left my body and joined 17 whales that were in my bay, and I was each one of those whales completely, and I was also all of those whales. And about 20 minutes later, I came back to the person I call Harish, and it was effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that as these veils are lifted, we're going to go into a kingdom on this planet beyond anything yummy we could have ever imagined.
Yeah, it's kind of like the pod consciousness that dolphins and the whales share, where
yeah.
they're all interlinked, and there's no real hierarchy here.
No,
all one basically, and I think
they're all one. You know, it's like the humpback whales which come to Maui every winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Some of the things we've observed about them, they don't hang out with each other for more than 3 to 5 days, right? Now, the mother and the baby stay together for a whole year. But the whales who are cruising together, let's say you and I are whales, we get together, we meet, wow, we're excited, hey, we play 3 or 4 days together, and then I head off over here and you go over there, and all of a sudden I'm playing with another group of whales and you're playing with another group of whales, or you go off and sing for a while by yourself. But it's the joy is just continues, like you said, in this pod consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's kind of like what Bashar says, is that in reality they're all married to each other in this divine oneness.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to hang out with their best friend. Everyone in the group is their best friend, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. You move into that. It's almost like everybody becomes your soulmate when you reach a certain level of consciousness.
Yes. And that's through self-love, once again, because you meet your own inner soulmate. And then that's reflected on everyone you meet.
Yep, I have to agree with that one. You know, I know as you move up the vibration continuum, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
we have these higher aspects of self, and as you move up, the higher you go, the more one you are with everything and everyone, and then you lose identity. You lose
yeah.
any concept of separation or exclusivity or anything. It all just goes
mm-hmm.
goes out the door, which is interesting. What I see with a lot of religions, you might say, is that they become more and more exclusive, and if they were totally connected in with the source and the God self, they'd realize that, you know, love is all inclusive, and the higher you go in your own spiritual evolution, you'll realize that it's going to include everyone and everything.
Well, quite often the dogma that most religions, organized religions, are based on is that we're the ones, we're going to paradise, and in order to join us, you've got to believe certain things, otherwise you're going to be punished forever. Now, it's very interesting that a loving God would create a situation where it would want to punish the majority of its creation forever. That sounds that doesn't sound like any God I've ever met.
And we're totally condemned because some woman gave Adam an apple and bit it, so we're condemned as everlasting sinners.
It was probably apple, too, you know?
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around that one because of the apple that we're sinners everlasting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, I think I've sinned quite a lot because I've eaten quite a few apples, and I'm actually raising apples here at the ranch, so... I must be in deep doo-doo here.
You're in holy shit, huh?
Yeah. I could use a little bit of that, actually, to keep the gardens growing.
Right.
It's quite interesting. I'm just seeing over and over this exclusivity program. It's all based on fear and, you know, all these control programs.
Yes, fear, completely.
You know, even marriage. A lot of people say, you know, how sacrilegious is that, but... You know, having a contract involved in your marriage is really based on fear.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is based on fear. I mean, it's all about what happens if, you know, or if you leave me, I'm going to get this and this and this, or you know, it kills the love. You know, you should come together spiritually because you're spiritually guided to come together. And some are just for short lessons to learn, and some are for longer lessons. And
you're right. Right.
And, you know, it's not about controlling or forcing somebody to do behave in a certain way or whatever. It either is or it isn't.
The real relationship should actually want both beings to be as connected to their own inner connection as possible.
Exactly.
It should embrace each other's divine connections and unconditionally love the other, so that if movement is necessary for that growth to continue, it should be a blessing, seen as a blessing too, out of gratitude for the beautiful moments you've shared.
Yeah.
I know my relationships, my past relationships are all based on that. We're still very close. Some of us are very intimate as friends, as sharing our lives still. Others not so day-to-day intimate, but still pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all moved on to different chapters, and everyone's doing better from where they were coming from, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I that's one thing in my life I think if I wish I could have done a little better, but as far as ending relationships is that, you know, a lot of times they ended with a few choice words and them taking off or just, you know, all together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I still maintain the love within my heart and for them, even through the working out whatever issues were coming up. And, you know, I still don't begrudge them, you know, a lot of times there's still, the ego is still hanging on that need to be right, you know, and trying to demonize the other person rather than looking within and, you know, finding the demons within. But, you know, it's, you know, I have some that I've been involved with in the past that were, you know, still, you know, I feel a great love for them and things like that, and wish them the best and hope to have the most incredible life possible.
Yes.
There's and you know, the only thing sadness that brings me is that it wasn't reciprocal, you know.
Well, you know what, we have
nothing
to
I can do about that, you know.
No, be unconditional and
yeah.
You know, allow them to, they also, you know, that, you know what happens when we don't forgive another or we don't let the other one be who they are, we carry that judgment.
Oh yeah.
That's why forgiveness is such a strong source of inner freedom. Because in reality, if I have a judgment against someone, who's carrying that judgment every day? I am.
Mm-hmm.
So that story is weighting down my heart. Doesn't matter the other person may not even care about it. So here I am walking around with this dog collar that weighs about 50 pounds because of something that happened maybe, and because I want to be right and they were wrong, and they should, you know, it's like it's better just to forgive and free yourself.
Yeah, and people will defend the right to carry that dog collar on and on and on and on, or you know, you're going to magnetize people and events to you that are on that same, that have that same collar, you know, and, until you let it go. So there's, I always tell people, one of these teachers told me, and this is a paradox in a way, but the way he said it, it really sunk into me. He said, you want to know the most, one of the most powerful weapons you can ever utilize? And I said, what's that? And he said, forgiveness. And he said, because when you truly forgive somebody and you release it and gain, let the wisdom settle in the soul, it goes out of your fields and back to the person, and they're going to magnetize another person or event to them so they can gain the wisdom out of that lesson, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you're free, you know. And he said, but the catch is that you can't use it as a weapon. It was kind of funny.
No, exactly.
But he said, you have to be totally sincere in your soul and release the past and forgive it and let it go. And, and he said, and then you're free to move on. He said, but he goes, believe me, he said, that when you release and let go of the past like that, it leaves your field and they have to finish it. They have to finish their side of the equation.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting. I mean, there's really no reason not to forgive.
I agree.
Yeah, any way you look at it, you know, if you want to get even with somebody, forgive them, you know. Basically,
I make mistakes all the time, and I'll tell you one thing. It's very easy to say I'm sorry, too. It's very easy.
Yeah.
And it always leads to a deeper state of intimacy when I make a mistake. If I just, what's the big deal? I get to relax. I get to move my ego out of the way. And then the other person, it's just so beautiful. The whole thing is so beautiful. And when we get over that hump of having to be right, of having to be in control.
Yeah. And really that whole thing is just the ego defending itself. But,
right.
You know,
and also, too, then our lives, no longer are we just going with the flow, but we're actually glowing with the flow.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You know, I always tell people, one of the teachers, I love what she said. She said that I've never made a mistake. I've manifested a lot of things and gained a lot of wisdom. And, you know, I feel that way myself. I'm the first one to say I'm not infallible, you know, and that if you follow me, you're lost because you have your own unique purpose for being here. And, you know, and I'm just here to assist and help you, you know, get in connection with your own personal, make your own personal God connection and release the past. I mean, that's my whole function, but, you know, help people connect into higher levels of consciousness and energy. But, you know, basically it's, you know, all of us, there's none of us that are infallible, and we're all doing our best, but I think
you know
the
what,
masters,
James, you know what,
Go ahead.
For me, what has always been interesting, you know the word mistake?
Yeah.
Mystic. Yeah. Mistake, mystic. When we admit a mistake and we let go, a mystical, we become one with the mystic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. Those mistakes, actually, the mistakes I've made in my life have actually led me to where I am, because it humbled me, it relaxed me, it got me out of my ego base. When I saw, I need to redirect my energy. I need to, whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I've always felt that if it were not for all the so-called mistakes I've made, I wouldn't be where I am today, and I wouldn't trade that for anything, the wisdom I've gained from those experiences. And, you know, how do you know what you want until you experience a lot of little what you don't want? Until you, you know, it's a way of exacting self or figuring out, you know, where you want to go or, you know, what you want to experience. You need some kind of a reference point, and without the things that weren't so pleasant, you know, you really wouldn't have any reference points.
Exactly.
You know, know, that's why I tell people, you know, I'm pretty clear on what I don't want. You know, I'm not exactly, not exactly clear on what I want, because I think that's going to change day by day.
Yes, exactly. I know someone last night said, Harish, remember 12 years ago when you said this? You're not saying that anymore. I said, well, you know what? All I can say is I've learned a lot. And
yeah.
I said, probably in 12 years, I'll have another way of sharing where I'm at. And hopefully that will, I have a feeling that continues forever.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's natural.
Yeah, I heard a thing, you know, one of these masters were talking once, and he said that, you know, about humans are so fickle, you know, and we have that divine right to free will and self-determination and everything, and we're so fickle. And he said they're learning constantly by trying new ways of reaching us because we're such a rebellious lot down here. That he said, yeah, we're evolving too, because we're always learning new ways and new techniques on helping people, reaching people.
Right.
You know, and in our journey, I guess they're learning through us, you know, hey, that didn't work, you know.
Right.
So, who knows? I guess we're all learning.
It sure feels like it. And you know what? For me, I feel like I've been on this planet for quite a while now, and I feel that I'm actually at a place now where I've learned more in the last couple of years than I learned in my first many decades here. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that learning, I'm actually at a place where I think I've learned how to learn.
Yeah.
And it feels so exciting.
It seems that observer, you know, we have to develop that loving detachment and that observer where we just observe what's going on around us and not get attached to it or not react. And once we find that get centered in that space, you know, we're well on our way to, you know, figuring things out here.
Yes.
I'm still working on that one myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get pulled out of my center every once in a while. Not very often, but every once in a while. It's usually,
When I get pulled out, what I find happens to me, and this started a few years ago, is that the contrast, when I get a contrasting situation, it actually points towards the same thing that the joy points towards.
Mm-hmm.
It points me back towards who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't feel natural. After I've experienced so much joy, it feels so natural. When I'm in a situation where for some reason I react or am triggered, quote unquote, whatever, it's actually helping me become more and more clear how to stay in that center through more and more situations. And so they're serving us. They're serving us. They're getting us to be more and more clear and more in clarity as to who we really are.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Which is pure joy. Pure joy.
Yeah,
a friend of mine said, Harish, but a friend of mine was with me in Maui and said, Harish, but I learn from conflict. I said, so do I. And I put I learned too, and I showed my fingers like a couple of inches, you know. I've learned a lot from conflict, but you know what? I learn a lot more from joy. And she goes, but doesn't joy get old? I go, this joy refreshes itself every second. This joy opens up to new, more intimate joys, to new, more creative joys, to new, more effervescent joys. And I have an intuitive feeling that this joy is forever, and it's who we are, and that it will never get old. It will constantly take us beyond the infinite. And I just, Yahoo.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, that's who we really are. We are these truly magnificent, loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting gods and goddesses that are,
mm-hmm.
that are just pure bliss. That's our natural state.
Mm-hmm.
And we've
yes.
got ourselves
yes.
to be sidetracked quite a bit here. Mm-hmm. And I think this new energy coming in is just coming in waves, and it's exponential, and it's taking us
yes.
back to that inner self, which is that, you know, powerful, loving, joyous, manifesting God or goddess. Some of us are embracing it and jumping into it and saying, let me have it, and others are going kicking and screaming, you know.
Right. Well, you know what? Once again, too, because it is what it is, that kicking and screaming, we can do, you know, I've done it in the past. I kicked and screamed and pouted. At one party, I ended up in the broom closet. And it was like, oh, great, man, this is cool. Nice view. And I had to walk out in that room and just say, hey. I had to let go. And you know what?
Yeah.
It felt good. It felt a lot better than being in that little broom closet.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who are finding themselves in these little broom closets, you know, ready to surrender, you know.
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time here. We're going to have to sign off. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and let us know what's going on there. And,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on again. You're a great, great person to have on to cover all this. And I think we went much deeper than expected, you know, you might say.
Yeah, well, once again, like, I'm here in Sedona now. I used to live here. And the return of the ancestors, I feel, has to do with every one of us, when we open our hearts and are willing to look in the mirror and love who's looking back, we become that ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that a lot of this ancestor return going on right now is happening with a lot of people. I see it in the health food stores. I see it on the streets. I see it at the... I just see it all over. And it's very, very beautiful.
All right. Hey, well, thanks again for coming on the show. I've got to sign off. We're out of time.
Okay.
And this is
James. Thank you, James.
I love you,
brother.
All right. Have a great evening, everybody. We're signing off. Good night.